Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hello and welcome back to Beautiful Lives. You may have noticed the name looks a little bit different this week, and that's because I'm embarking on a mini-series at the movies in which I'm joined by fellow beauty journalist George Driver to discuss all things beauty in some of our favourite films and hopefully your favourite films. Hi, George.
Hello.
Hello. How excited are you?
I'm too excited about this. I feel like we're both very pleased with ourselves that we've found a way to discuss our favourite topics, which is rom-coms and hair and makeup, which sounds very reductive, but there we are. It is the
there
fact.
We are. And also, I found another reason to watch Dirty Dancing and look at all the details and pause it on things like their toenails, which is something which is a level of detail I've even not been to before on Dirty Dancing.
Well, I feel like you've spoilt the surprise. This week is Dirty Dancing.
What else could we have started with?
It's iconic for many, many reasons.
Yeah.
Mostly, I think what we found, the total 80s. Ness of the 1963 film, the very Grease vibes of the 80s just invading its way into a different decade in literally everything.
So one of the first things I said to George when we were talking about doing Dirty Dancing is that I think Patrick Swayze probably smells a bit like cheese. And despite fancying him, by the way, enormously and thinking he's, you know, completely beautiful in this film. But I said he smelled like cheese. And George said, what did you say, good or bad cheese?
Is that a good or bad thing?
Sometimes
with Maddie, you never know if that reference is going to be complimentary or not. And a man smelling like cheese in the world of Madeline Spencer could be a great thing.
So,
I wasn't sure where we were going with it, but it unnerved me a little.
Okay, so I think when you said 80s grease, it made me think of that thing when everything's a bit lacquered. And it, you know when you leave a cheese in the sun for a bit and it gets that kind of film on it?
Yeah, it's actually making me feel a bit ill.
Is it?
Okay. No, I mean,
think of a nice manchego sweating gently.
I don't want any cheese to sweat.
Oh, really?
We're getting off piece.
Fine, sorry.
No, I meant 80s Grease, as in Grease the movie,
where
it's filmed in the late 70s, early 80s, set in the 50s, but all of the looks in the film are overladen, if that is a word, with this 80s-ness. Like, the 80s aesthetic invades its way into every look and reference. So it ends up with this sort of mashup of somewhere in between, which I feel like Dirty Dancing is also another very good example of, where the 80s couldn't help but creep its way into the 1960s
completely,
references.
Completely with you. Okay, well then I think we need to start in that case with the hair, because that's the most obvious 80s-ism, right?
Yeah.
So, character specifics. We have like this like chart in front of us with all of our favourite characters and some
We've
of them.
We've done a very old school mind map of total erratic notes.
Yep.
I feel like we need to start with Baby.
Okay.
Because she's the undoneness.
Yes.
And then Penny is the doneness.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So I think Baby has this very kind of loose but permed, very classic 80s hair.
Yes.
Like, we were watching it and I was like, not to say that people in 1963 didn't have curly hair, but I think for the majority, if you did, you styled it out or you smoothed it out. Mm. You didn't wear your natural curly
hair. Or you wore it in one of those like neat little things on the back of your head where it was like all styled and you'd maybe put like a hair piece in it to make it bigger.
Exactly.
And some bows or ribbons and things.
Always bows and ribbons.
Some decorations, which I'm all for, by the way.
And Baby has this very 80s natural perm, which just feels, I feel like it's just like quite jarring to the entire film.
Well, now, you see, I started watching this when I was really young. And so to me, it always felt like Baby was just a person independent of time or situation. It's actually been quite weird watching it from this perspective for me, because Baby and Johnny just were Baby and Johnny. Like, they didn't exist in a time.
Okay.
And also, You see, again, like, I never really liked her hair that much. To me, it was always like a mushroomy frizz. But now looking at it as an older woman, I think it's so cool.
But I don't think it's
older
an older
woman. I mean,
as an elderly lid.
As a child.
I don't think it's your age. I think it's a change in trend. So obviously in the past few years, curly hair, like for the first time in a long time, has really been embraced and felt very cool and very now.
But is that the vibe of the curly hair now? Because you're hot on trend. So
but
that,
that's what I mean. I feel like that's why you like it now. Because we've sort of, our aesthetic has changed to be, we're back on curly hair. But obviously we had the 90s and the noughties where it was an anti-curl, it was a curl-free zone. So I feel like now we're watching it, we're like, she looks great. I love that loose curl. The texture is really cool.
Just thinking about the fact that they were going to potentially cast Sarah Jessica Parker, who I also think of like as quintessential curly-haired, small woman. Like, do you think Baby's physicality is really important to her being Baby? Like, do you feel like the curly hair and like the sort of like girlishness is like really key?
Yeah, I wonder if they audition people with kind of smooth, straight hair or something. Yeah. There is like, you know, we were saying before, it's like a naive hair. It's very like undone compared to her sister and her mum, who are very coiffed. And then you've got Penny, who is, you know, the very air quotes exotic, sexually liberated
dancer. She always does look like a bird of paradise at times. Like, she
definitely
colours.
She looks like a beautiful praying mantis.
Yes.
And with lots of feathered hair, but her hair is like the opposite of the undone, saved by the bell perm.
Yes.
It's the very coiffed, deliberate, feathered updo from the 80s. She's got the feathered fringe. It goes into a big bouffant. The back is all sort of like frouffed and feathered.
She's even got those like Madonna roots, like the black roots with the white hair.
She's got a bleach with the roots. It's anything but 60s.
Yeah.
And it's like, I love how brazen it is, though, that they were just like, oh, we're going to sort of reference it. No, it's 80s.
There's one scene where she's getting Baby ready to do the is it the mambo that they're doing? I know the song is De Toro and Poco because I listened to that soundtrack.
The pachanga.
No, it's not the pachanga. They never do a pachanga, which I'm desperately sad about.
I know, we'll never know what a pachanga is.
We'll never know what a pachanga is. Maybe someone could send us a pachanga.
Hit us up if you know what a pachanga is.
Yeah, I'm very intrigued by the pachanga. But the scene where she's getting Baby ready and she's got her hair up, I feel like that looks more like a nod. It's like they made more of an effort in that moment for her to look like a 60s person.
Yes.
Because the rest
of
the time, it's just like whatever.
We noticed it was much smoother. It was much more coiffed. It was much more, it's sort of a different sort of done. There's not loads of sort of froofy bits or frizzy bits. The classic 80s fringe that has like its own height. The 80s fringe is a separate hairstyle to whatever is going on behind it.
But thinking about like Lisa and Marge, or Marjorie, I should probably call her.
We got really into Marge, didn't we?
We love Marge.
Marge is my just beauty goal. She's got the red hair.
Yes.
She looks great in a pair of high-waisted jeans playing golf. Very into Marge.
Yeah, Marge and also Jake. As a couple, I mean, side note, but I quite fancy Jake almost as much as Patrick Swayze in this film.
That's like Baby's dad to anyone who just doesn't know him by first name.
Dr. Jake Houseman.
What?
I have it written down.
I just watch his films and I'm like, so Baby's dad.
Baby's
and Maddie's like, Dr. Jake Houseman.
I like Dr. Jake Houseman. He just sounds
Maddie
so
knows his star
sign. He's so great. I like him and Marge as a couple. I think they're great as a couple. We were saying they're a sexy couple at the end. But Marge is very like, I mean, throughout the film, she plays this like quintessential wife role, right? Like she's, you know, this, I wouldn't say submissive, but you know, she is, Jake
background.
Is. Background, precisely. Background. And I would say that actually Lisa and Marge are kind of more like similar in terms of like the way they operate. And I think I was saying to George, I think they probably have quite a good friendship. Is what I imagine that in the way
we're projecting
that
full storylines onto Lisa and Marge
completely, but the way that Dr. Jake Houseman and Baby have a good
I've
relationship.
I've also just had a revelation that they're called Lisa and Marge, which
no
is obviously
way.
The Simpsons.
Well, there you go. I bet they got
Do we
that
know
that.
If that was named after them?
Probably. I mean, Dirty Dancing was big in the late 80s.
Yeah.
Yeah. Lisa and Marge.
And then Lisa and Marge, that's not a coincidence, right?
Again. If you have any in
Marge Simpson, again, also very coiffed hair.
Very coiffed hair. Famously coiffed. But this is, so Marge and Lisa, I think, have a similar vibe, like grooming aesthetic, right? They both like their
they
makeup.
They want that coral lipstick.
Yeah. So Lisa and Marge, more groomed, right?
Yeah.
But then looking at, say, Vivian Pressman, sexy Viv.
Vivian Pressman, who gets it that classic film treatment of the older kind of brash, brazen cougar woman, and because she has a cleavage, and then we actually decided
can we just say an amazing cleavage, we
incredible. I really undersold that, an incredible cleavage.
Because when we were going through this, George went, boobs, wow.
Wow, yeah. I mean, it's a great, great set of boobs. Yeah,
it's a great set of boobs.
And Vivian is made out to be this sort of older, intimidating, scary woman who pays for sex. I think we decided she was about 35.
The scene where she comes, you said it, the scene where she comes out the cabin and she's been sleeping with Robbie and she sees Baby and Johnny kissing. And there's like a close-up of her face. There's not a wrinkle. There's not, I mean, she looks young.
Incredible. Bone structure's amazing because she's meant to be sort of post-coital. She's obviously fresh-faced and they've put a lot less makeup on her and they haven't done her up to be this sort of scary cougar. And she looks incredible and is definitely, it's just that classic film thing where like sort of the older women are all younger than they've been made out to play. Yes. The men are all 20 years older than the character they're playing.
Jennifer Grey was 27 and Johnny was 35 and they're playing people who are 25 and 19. So
I mean, it's just the it's the tale as old as time.
Can I add a side note on Vivian Pressman? We are sticking to beauty, but can I just add something about her, George?
You can.
George is the director here of like order, because you know, like I like to waffle. But just quickly, I didn't realise until I was researching this that she assisted on the choreography on and also went on to do the choreography, assist on the choreography on Evita, which is another favourite film. So
all those dance lessons with Johnny, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, she's really good.
Viv. Miranda is her real name. Okay, fine. Let's go back. So hair. So her hair is also more coiffed and more like kind of... Well, it's like the womanliness.
We decided, you know, back in the 60s, there was sort of one look you did if you were going to do your hair and it was that smooth, big blow dry. Yeah. If saying this, we're not talking about height of fashion, twiggy, that kind of 60s. We're talking about civilian 60s. Mm-hmm. And it ended up with this sort of one look that actually, whatever age you were as a woman, you had this big, blown out, smooth, sort of almost like dry texture.
Yeah, there was a texture to it.
Very static hair.
Yes, yeah.
And actually, it kind of aged like a honeycomb. Everyone to this homogenous age.
Yes, yeah.
Whereas Baby is a complete rebellion against it. She doesn't do hair like that. She doesn't wear the same clothes. And then also, we were talking about, this might be a spoiler for later, but when gross hotel dude, what's his name?
Neil. What's his actual name? Neil Kellerman.
Neil Kellerman, obviously. He owns multiple hotels.
Yeah, he does. And he takes all the women off. Lifeguard.
Lifeguard. Yeah. He says to Baby very cringingly, "I like the way the wind moves through your hair or something.
Yeah. I like to watch your hair blowing in the breeze."
Yes, exactly. But props to Neil, he maybe hadn't encountered a woman whose hair moved at this point. You know what I mean? Like, I hadn't Baby's thought of that. Hair does have a flow that is very modern.
That is true.
It moves, it's very kind of organic.
Okay. But sorry, while we're on this, I need to say to you, because you were a bit scathing about Baby, and I need you to I need you to talk about this, but what I wanted to say is, you're talking about her hair moving in the breeze and how she's sort of effectively liberated in some way. Like, you know, like it's almost like taking off her corset, right? She's not got all the hairspray and she's not put her hair in some style. Baby is, and she's not dressing in this sexualized way. So to some extent, Baby is a 19-year-old who is just not part of sexual currency. Like she just has taken herself out of the equation until she meets Johnny, whole other section. But she's presented right from the off as being like a, I would say, militant feminist. She's a properly feminist character, but you have issues with Baby. I want to know what they are.
I don't feel like she's a very likable character, but I think she's a militant feminist in that she represents this old-fashioned definition of what a feminist is. I personally would describe a feminist as a woman who decides to do what she wants to do, is allowed, not, I say allowed, maybe that's the opposite. Yeah. She does whatever she wants, and that doesn't have to be something that is going against feminine norms. It doesn't have to be breaking any sort of stereotypes. It can be just exactly what they want to do. The whole point is that you are not doing something to please someone else's version of what your life should be. And Baby is a feminist snob. She looks down on her sister because she wants to be an interior decorator. She judges her sister for wearing makeup, for doing her hair, for wanting to present herself in a certain way. She thinks she's very above it all. And then she ain't.
Yeah, she ain't. You know? And also judges her sister, but as George, with her sleuthing, discovered...
Oh, yes.
...steals her beige iridescent lipstick.
iridescent beige lipstick, aka possibly my favourite makeup item that's ever been mentioned in a film ever.
Which, like, we did a bit of a deep dive on the internet. Yeah. Actually, it's probably Max Factor.
Yes.
Who came out with it. In the
whole collection
in the late
of
50s.
Iridescent ones.
Whole collection. Brilliant names.
Apricot Frost.
Apricot Frost.
You know, Lisa can't find her lipstick because actually we've seen previously, as soon as Baby gets into her dancing montage with Johnny, you see her on the bridge applying some lipstick because she's also sort of starting to, like, you know, care about these things in a way that she judged her sister for, to the point where her only access to makeup is Nick and her sister.
And I don't feel like there's a gift shop on Kellerman's that would sell this. Like, is there a Boots?
Well, this is another thing we were saying about this sort of, Lisa Eldridge mentioned it in her show recently, but it was more about Victorians. But I think there's a similar idea that applies of a secret makeup wearer. And to be in polite society, you secretly wear makeup. And if you openly wear makeup, you are a whore. And there's this sort of hypocrisy because, you know, Marge is wearing a coral lipstick. Lisa's wearing her iridescent beige lipstick and some, like, eyeshadow. But as soon as
Lisa's
Baby...
Lisa's a big eyeshadow wearer, like an eyeliner eyeshadow
wearer. Like, quite defined.
Yeah, really defined. Cleopatra-esque.
And as soon as Baby wears makeup, her dad's like, wipe that stuff off your face. And for him, as like an innocent virginal teenager, she should not be wearing that. But it's because she was wearing bright blue eyeshadow and a coral lipstick for that dance with Johnny at a tan. And so it's much bolder.
Just to add.
Yeah, maybe that's Jake's issue.
Maybe Jake's upset that
Jake's
baby
just
wasn't
like,
great
take that off.
Yeah.
You haven't blended it's at bad. All. But then, you know, it's the idea that Lisa's allowed to wear the makeup because she's got this sort of respectable secrecy about it. There's a slight shame where she's trying not to be too obvious. Whereas, you know, Penny and that crew, they're brazen about wearing it. Therefore, they are sluts.
But I think just to, not that I sort of stand by my man Jake, but just to say, I think that when Jake sees Baby in that makeup, it's so obvious in this film that that her evolving wardrobe and makeup is harmonious with her sexual awakening. Yeah. And I think he looks at her face, sees the sort of blatant makeup, there's lipstick, there's eyeshadow, there's, you know, skin stuff, and thinks, okay, she's hanging out with these dancers, she's wearing this intense makeup, what is going on
here? I do think, like, part of it is, like, you know, a genuine fatherly sort of shock, like, okay, my daughter's growing up, this is a bit shocking to me. But I do think that is tied into his idea of snobbery as well. Air quotes, better than this. You know, she's meant to be the sister that's smarter, that isn't falling into those flippant female ways of makeup and hair. And now he's like looking at her like, you're better than those people and you're better than wearing that makeup. Falling into that trap of linking makeup with a lack of intelligence or makeup with a lack of ambition.
Right.
Which...
Yeah, so granted, I think that that's probably
we're
true,
not going to agree on Jake here, mate.
No, because I think I'm sort of 50% there with you, and then the other part of me thinks she's never shown an interest in it. He doesn't judge his other daughter Lisa because she's always been into it. Or he expected less. This is the thing, it's one side of that coin, isn't it? He either expected less of her or just thought that she's into this. But with Baby, part of me is like, she's looking at her, she's seeing a woman who's literally going to lose her virginity that night because she's hanging out with this dancer, she's wearing makeup and she's into sex. And I do think that most dads' biggest nightmare is the idea of their daughter having sex. But
she's 19.
She's 19.
While we were watching this, I was like, hold up, how old is she? She's meant to be 19. So at this point, she's graduated high school. In theory, she's off to college or already at college. She's a legal adult. She's not, you know, I know a lot of these films or even like Disney films and stuff, you're like, oh, they're 15. Or like, you know, West Side Story, she's 15 or something like that.
Yeah.
You know, it's, she is 19.
Let's move on to makeup.
I don't know if we can move past iridescent beige.
Yeah, iridescent beige. That was my favourite moment. And Baby wearing the blue eyeshadow.
Well, we couldn't decide if the dance out of town where she first wears that heavy makeup and it's pretty poor. You know, you've got the pastel, the cool tone blue, and then the classic powder around the eyes that creates this sort of ghostly effect, and then the very vibrant lipstick.
Like someone who stole their mum's makeup.
Yeah, we couldn't decide if it's the film being self-aware and authentic that she's meant to look like she's done it herself.
Yeah.
Or if the makeup for the film was just quite bad.
We would welcome your thoughts on this.
Yeah. If you've got any knowledge of who did the makeup for the film and
we did look into storyboard there. Yeah, I'd like to know that too. And also, while we're looking at that, we're also looking at nails. I think we just have to mention that if you pause on the scenes where you see people's nails, as I did every time. So Penny matches her nails to her outfit.
Yeah, every outfit. She's got that red dress, Signature Penny, bright red, long nails. And then the pink dress earlier on, we paused on her toenails.
We paused on them. And she's doing that dance with Johnny where pink. They walk forward in that room. I love that dance.
A frosted pink to match the frosty pink dress. It's very coordinated.
It's very coordinated. And also, Lisa wears nail polish when she's going to seduce Robbie or slash sleep with Robbie, really. After she said, George, can you say what you said about her as a sister? Because I found that really moving.
I feel like I've never really paid that much to Lisa as a character before. And like when Lisa, they're painting the set near the end and Lisa sort of, kind of with all her bravado, goes up to Baby to be like, oh, tonight's going to be the night and Robbie doesn't even know yet. And she's sort of trying to like be kind of, I guess, macho in a way. She wants Baby to notice her and to be impressed by her.
Mm.
And Baby, unfortunately, is just like, doesn't care about anything apart from Johnny by this point. I sort of feel for Lisa in a way, but then also I do think, I do see where Baby's coming from because I would find Lisa quite a frustrating sister.
George, I think we absolutely have to talk about wardrobe.
Yeah.
I think the first thing we have to say is the pastels and the black.
Yes. Maddie told me this like revelation that I've, you know, when you're just like, how did I not see that before? And it's that throughout the film, Johnny is perpetually in all black. There are some moments when he merges into a khaki. His softer moments.
George said his olive green shirt.
The olive green shirt's very
good. After the dance, he's wearing a short-sleeved. And short-sleeved, great on him.
Yeah.
Short-sleeved olive shirt that's just, it's just great.
He's emotionally open and he's wearing olive green.
He's lightened his colours.
But then the all-black outfit sort of kind of bookend that look.
The height of which is when he goes to speak to the dad to say bye and he's wearing the sunglasses, the black leather jacket.
Extremely Danny Zuko.
The black jeans and the black shoes. It's all
very
black.
T-Bird.
And it's meant to be the height of summer, so he must be sweltering.
Really, really
like
warm.
Like a cheese.
One
could say. A brie.
So he is perpetually, or like, apart from the lovely olive green segue, he is always in all black and then Baby is almost always in all white or pastels, or like actually I think just like towards the middle to end it's much more all white, which feels like very obvious cinema wardrobe, but actually I don't know how I never noticed it.
It's
before.
Such obvious symbolism though, isn't it? Let's do Johnny's hair now and then we'll come back
while we're talking about Johnny.
Just go on, let's have it.
So Johnny's hair is like mad long, and apparently in real life Patrick Swayze turned up to the auditions or rehearsals even with shoulder length hair that was almost as long as hers.
Yeah.
And he did go on to do a film after this, I think called like Steel Dawn or something, and he's got super long hair and he's for this mad role. But so he clearly was growing it, and throughout the filming they filmed for 43 days and he didn't have it cut once.
Yeah.
So as the film goes on it progressively gets longer.
Mm.
And sometimes it's sort of like slicked back into that like, you know, rockabilly sort of Elvis coif, which is kind of like cool and rebellious and hat, but then other times it just gets absolutely out of control. And actually when they're on stage at the end, his fringe is mad.
I love
it. It's so fluffy and long. I go in and I like it when it's like very coiffed because I think that's cool, but then like we're talking about the ducktail at the back of his neck that is threatening to go mullety. I think you know, again, sort of like Baby's got this like loosey-goosey perm compared to the coifs of the other women. Johnny's got this like, you know, he's a badass dancer, so he's got this rebellious long hair compared to Dr. Jake.
Yeah. Do you feel like Johnny and Baby, just had this thought, have very similar hair? Like in terms of like male woman like versions, like similar kind of mid.
I think if he had
color.
A perm, it'd be pretty spot on.
Yeah, so they've got quite similar hair.
Are they merging into that brother-sister, you know, when couples look like each other.
Yeah, but apparently you fancy people who look like Not your siblings, but like...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I think also that ties into the deep, deep tans.
Deep tans.
That we discussed.
Yes, all round deep tans.
Which, like, at some points look glowing and amazing, and at other points, when is it when Johnny's just looks... Oh, when Neil turns up to say Pachanga.
Yeah,
And Johnny's tan is so deep. It's so like deep. Quite mad.
Especially because he's wearing black, which usually you look quite pale against.
Yeah,
he's
no. Like, imagine he's that man. Like, maybe this is why the costuming, they couldn't put him in white. We basically, while watching, we took a whole side turn with Maddie talking about hooded eyes. And hooded eyes on men and hooded eyes on women and how apparently...
So the woman who wrote this all, Eleanor Bergstein, is that the right name? Eleanor Bergstein, I think it is. Yeah. She said, basically, that... Eleanor Bergstein. She said that she had written this as, like, it was her... pretty much her experience. I mean, she's sort of not outright said it, but she wrote it and she said she'd had this thing. Mm. And she was quite big in casting the right man. And the only thing she said is, I want to see the eyes of all the actors who might be Johnny. And she wanted them hooded. And when she saw Patrick Swayze, she's like, him, I want him. So she looked for someone with hooded eyes. And I was just saying to George that I have a massive thing about hooded eyes on men and women. I just find them really appealing.
Which I find very funny because I have very hooded eyes and I find them annoying at best.
Okay, so I love a hooded eye, but, and Johnny's hooded eyes just look so great. Okay, baby Johnny, black and white.
Yeah.
What else have we got? We've got Penny and her colour.
I feel like we should maybe just sum up that's quite obviously implying that she's innocent and he's...
corrupting.
Corrupt!
Corrupting the 19-year-old.
Yeah.
Okay, Penny, very colourful.
So, well, yeah, like we were saying, she's a bird of paradise. Yeah. And also... do those, you know, people that do dancing out there, the dresses, do they come with the pants inbuilt? Mm. I love that Penny swishes her skirt so high to almost display the pants, which I love because I just think it's so great. But you would have to very thoughtfully put on certain pants, does it come with the dress?
Don't you feel like in the 60s, though, that like everything was more considered? Like you would go to a shop and you'd buy a dress and maybe like because they'd made you the dress or because they made the dresses in the shop, they'd be like, there's matching underwear.
Yeah.
And you'd buy the whole set almost. You'd never go to M&S and be like, oh, I'll just have like four cotton.
It's not a fast fashion era. You're going to wear that ensemble.
Yeah, but they're hopefully not the knickers to death. That's the other thing. Like, knickers have a different shelf life.
Is it a bodysuit? Are you wearing...
then do you wear pants under the bodysuit? Exactly. Eternal dilemma.
Baby mirrors her a lot as she sort of has this dance and sexual awakening. Her and Penny go to get herself ready for the dance, and they're both wearing the same sort of white off-the-shoulder kind of, you know, casual blouse. With, they're sort of mirroring each other there. And then, obviously, Penny dresses... baby up for this dance and she puts on the red dress.
While wearing gold hooped earrings. Yeah. Not very 60s.
No. We're literally like...
where's the paste?
The dings,
where's the enamel?
The dings.
Yeah.
And it's sort of, it's, you know, very similar to a red dress that Penny's worn earlier in the film.
Yeah.
It's kind of baby's transformation into kind of the Penny that maybe Johnny used to love.
Mm.
You know, although we did discuss that we love... Johnny and Penny's relationship that's very platonic and loving. He has really huge respect for her, and his first concern is her before he even
and
really
he
thinks
respects
baby.
Baby as well. Like he's a, I think Johnny's
eventually,
a great
he's a bit of a dick to her a couple of times.
Well, yeah, you didn't like him saying where'd you get the money from, because
asking your dad for money.
George, I think we need to talk about Johnny's bracelet.
Yes, Maddie was very perturbed by this. She was not happy. Basically, later on in the film, he's wearing... no, it's when they first have sex. And he's topless.
Cry to me. Voted the most sexy scene ever.
I'll accept.
Go on.
I mean...
yeah.
You know, if foreplay's a thing, we've got about 5 minutes of just dancing before anyone gets anywhere.
That's how I like to do it, George.
Yeah.
That's my thing. Yeah.
And he just weebles on the spot
I'm
sexually.
I'm just standing there and, stroking and listening to music.
Just exploring each other's bodies. Well, what we didn't like to explore, or what Maddie didn't like to explore, was he is topless, apart from he's wearing this chunky gold...
silver.
Chain. Is it silver?
It's silver. That made it worse. Well, I think
it's...
pretty
worse.
Sure.
This chunky metal bracelet,
yeah.
which is sort of a big chain, and then it's got almost like a sort of...
an engraved kind of tag bit on
tag,
it. Like
tag, or like almost like military tag sort of.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And we know he wasn't in the military, so...
I mean, I also don't know if a military bracelet is a thing.
It's not. I don't know how it came to be on his wrist. I don't... I
feel like you don't see it any other point.
No, I don't feel like it's visible in... He wears all these short sleeve shirts, and yet I didn't notice it. I just noticed it when he's got his arm around Baby, and it's just also, really there.
It's not dissimilar to a chunky watch, but by not being by being a bracelet and not a watch, I feel like the choice is the key item. Like here.
That's
like,
what I mean. Why is he wearing? I mean, maybe there's like some sad story. It's not a Connell's chain, though, is it? It's not. There's no hotness.
I feel like maybe it didn't have enough airtime. You never know. Like Johnny's bracelet could become the Connell's chain of the older movies. Yeah.
But one thing you like about Johnny and his style is his Cuban heel.
Yeah, I have a weird penchant for a man in a Cuban heel.
Do other people have that?
Okay, I think it goes back to my love of Strictly Ballroom, the film. Yes. I watched it a lot as a child. I love it now. Yeah. It's one of my favourites. And obviously in Ballroom and Paso Doble, you wear a Cuban heel. Like, a lot of the men in the film wear these Cuban heels because it is culturally relevant, but also for the Paso Doble, it's the shoe you wear to do it. But I just think there's such a mix of different men in it, and I love that it's just got, like, I don't know, it's got, like, a cool 60s-ness to it. I think in a very not weird way, my dad always wears really cool shoes, and he loves the 60s, and when we were growing up he always used to wear a slightly heeled boot.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
So, where are we at, George?
I feel like, right, we've covered hair, we've covered makeup, we've covered nails, we've covered the mad tans.
Yep.
We've covered wardrobe. I think we've sort of, we've covered it all, really.
Can I then say a couple of the random things I've got on the piece of paper before we do our final, like, question bit?
Permission granted, yes.
Okay, so Penny, Cynthia Rhodes, was in Staying Alive with John Travolta, this film with Patrick Swayze, and Runaway with Tom Selleck, meaning she has acted in films with all my three hottest men.
Yeah. I mean, very you men.
So I'm very...
Yeah, well done her.
Very jealous of her.
Great choices.
Dr. Jake Houseman, I'm sad that you didn't... Dr. Jake
Houseman. You only have a full name as man.
Dr. Jake, I'm sad that you didn't mention his funny shirt during the golfing scene. Can you explain what you found disturbing about that?
Okay, I feel like the golfing scene was one of those where we were fully up close. I'm going to call Baby's dad, just to be belligerent, with his face. And we were like, is he hot? Are we old? Is it confusing? We don't know. And we mainly, I mainly decided that the confusing thing was he was wearing a shirt that seemingly had a sort of line across it that looks like a tabard or apron. That was very distracting. I don't even know what style of shirt you would call that.
Yeah, it was weird.
And then mainly it just kept cutting to Marge looking absolutely incredible with the crocodile clip updo.
I love Marge.
Not very 60s either.
We love
Marge. And shirt tucked into jeans looking incredible in her golf wear.
Also just props to Jerry Orbach, who plays Dr. Jake Houseman, for that incredible scene where he's completely silent, doesn't say a word, and you get all the emotions. And I think you've got to be a great actor to do that.
The on the edge dad cry
is...
It's very good. Very emotive.
Very, very good.
Yeah.
Okay, two more things. One, Max Kellerman. We just didn't mention him, and I sort of am fascinated by him. I'm fascinated by the fact that he has a cigar at breakfast.
Which also, I think you only noticed the third time it happened.
And then George was like, yo, he's had a cigar at every breakfast.
Maddie was like, why is he smoking a cigar at breakfast? I was like, oh, Max, yeah, he has one at every breakfast. Every breakfast.
And
yeah.
He comes out with one of our top quotes, but I'll save that right for the end. And then the other thing I was going to say is just a shout out to the dancer who looks like she is... Firstly, the diversity of dancers' bodies, right? Because it would be so easy in a film like this to do a... I don't know, like a Staying Alive, right? And have everyone have these kind of exactly the same bodies. But actually, when you look at the Dirty Dancing, it is almost like they've got different members of staff dancing dirtily.
I do feel like...
It's not that dirty.
Dirtily. I do think your point about Johnny and Baby when you were younger seeming like they were in their own time zone is probably not just you being a very, like, you know, being very absorbed by the story as a child. I think it is the fact that, like, they seem to exist in no sort of time zone that makes sense because of their merginess of 80s and 60s and whatever. But also because the dancers, it's almost like when you go, when she goes into that party in the staff's quarters, the hut.
You know, George noticed the abundance of these kind of wood
So many shacks. But this is the sexy shack.
Yeah.
And, all of these dancers are like fully not from this decade. Mm-hmm. All of them are rocking a different super 80s, almost top to toe look. Like, you know, there's loads of women with that short, cropped, feathered, super layered, almost like Diana hair. There's loads of them. Just think, well, no wonder you didn't know what time zone they were in, because it's almost like if it was a sci-fi, that shack would actually be like
a time machine,
into there and you've actually time traveled to the 80s and then you leave again and you're in the 60s.
But I feel like if I'd have made Dirty Dancing, I'd have done a spin-off where I showed more about each of those couples, because I feel like they were quite like, there's that young couple where the woman who, you know, there's a young couple, the man is quite sort of pretty looking, almost like a young Elvis, not quite as pretty, but there's this one couple, he's wearing a hat and they're quite into each other, and
he tips his hat
at the camera, and they're a couple I'd find quite sweet. And then there's this woman who is like a proper like
with the short hair, very straight and choppy,
like almost like she's like, she's
very
quite
heavy brow. It's a bold look.
It's bold.
And Maddie was obsessed.
She doesn't
have
a classic dancer's physique either, right? Like, she's not like long and lean like Penny.
Yeah, but Penny is literally like the stretch Armstrong of dancing.
Yeah, I'm not saying she looks good. I'm not saying she doesn't look good. I just mean she doesn't have like that long,
she's
like
not the
spaghetti body dancer thing. And she's right next to Johnny when they're walking up that aisle towards Baby. And I'm like, I love that they put that woman there, like stroking her own hair, like kind of like
she's so into it. And like,
she's
earlier,
so into it. I
when
love
they're
that
in
woman.
The sex shack.
Yeah.
And
she's dominating
on
the
man.
Yeah.
And she's grasping this man who is seemingly nosing his way up her left boot.
Yes!
And she is like in charge of it. And she just seems to turn up all the time. And we're like short-haired women.
I love this woman. I'd like to know what she did next.
We should have checked the credits to see what she's
down as character name. Yeah, that's a shame because she's the one that I didn't check. I checked everyone else.
We're just calling her short-haired woman, which short-haired feels like woman. A disservice. She Anybody is. Who knows that character's name in the film or as an actress, holler up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, rounding up. So Johnny was meant to be Italian initially. Do you think it would have been bad if he were Italian?
I mean, like you said, we've all seen that Billy Zane audition video, which is like...
Bad.
Oh, it's so bad. It's so great.
Yeah.
And I kind of love the idea of just a very moody Billy Zane attempting to be as elegant as Patrick Swayze.
I think it's interesting that Patrick and Jennifer Grey weren't friends, didn't like each other, had been in a film together, hated each other. Do you think that...
Each other.
I mean, some people say it adds to tension. I just think they seem like they're mega into each other, so maybe it did add to it, like the sexual tension.
I mean, I guess, like you said, like, you know, love and hate are extremes of a sort of similar emotion. Maybe being really pissed off with someone comes across quite well on camera.
Would you want to go to Kellerman's on holiday?
It's like sort of... somewhere I'd love to go and my nightmare all in one. Like, yeah, the organised funness of it all, I would find hilarious, so maybe one day, and then I would be like, I hate everyone here. But the breakfast buffet selection was strong.
I also like, increasingly, holidays where...
I like the boundaries.
Yeah. Quite genuinely, where you're in a compound almost, because it's like, if I'm, say, somewhere where there's loads of sights to see, I perpetually feel like I'm not seeing the thing I'm meant to see, and maybe I should be trying to see more. And then I'm like, but I'm also on holiday, and I live in a city, so I need to, like, sleep and eat and chill.
Yeah.
So sometimes, being somewhere like Kellerman's, where it's, like, just miles of nothing, like, maybe you play golf, but maybe you also just sit in your cabin reading.
I think where Dad goes to have his sort of emotional moment on that lakefront.
Yes.
Yeah, happily sit there for quite a while.
Yeah.
You know,
Also, I quite like Marge and Jake having their time together on their holiday. I feel like they were...
Yeah, we decided that no one noticed where Baby was for a lot of the time. So actually, Marge and Jake are really making the most of their holiday because, as Maddie said, he's a very sought-after doctor.
Dr. Jake.
And maybe they don't get to spend a lot of time together. We really came up with a backstory for these two.
We did. We enjoyed that. That was really fun for us.
Enjoying their golf
I wonder
together.
When they met. I bet they met, like, fresh out of college, right? Like, I bet they've been together for ages and ages. I don't think they met each other older.
Nah, I reckon that... Jake broke up with his high school sweetheart for Marge.
Yeah.
Oh, Marge. Saw Marge and was like, that's it.
Marge is a babe, I bet you. Yeah. But Jake's also pretty hot.
Oh, we haven't even mentioned fake Marge.
Fake
in the
Marge!
Opener,
yes.
Where Marge, original Marge, got recast, but they forgot to reshoot it. And it's like the worst Easter egg. It's not even a glimpse. There's a whole scene of them arriving at Kellerman's, and there's a woman with blonde hair in the front of the car.
Which you never notice until you notice it.
And then it cuts to them arriving, and it's the back of the car, and you can see her, and she's still in there.
Yeah, I know. It's pretty bad. It sticks out. The thing is, they didn't have very long to film it, so maybe they just thought, oh, no one will notice.
I know. It was even thinking about shooting a film of 43 days. That's a nightmare.
Mad. Okay, so there's a very famous quote in Dirty Dancing. I carried a watermelon.
I carried a watermelon.
Which is not my favorite. And also, nobody puts Baby in the corner.
So this is the end of the episode.
End of the episode.
We discuss our favorite quotes.
Favorite quotes, yeah.
Just
that's right. I don't like either of those. I don't like either of those. I don't like I carried a watermelon. What do you think she's trying to say when she says, I carried a watermelon? Do you think she's just trying to say, I'm not with this guy? I was being useful. I was bringing groceries, much
needed
refreshment.
She's trying to justify her presence.
To this party.
I carried a watermelon.
Yeah, it's a hot night. You're all dancing.
But also, it's sort of watermelon. Like she's meant to have, despite being kind of quite a dry, serious, snobby person. Otherwise, she's meant to be goofy, isn't she?
Yeah. So but yeah, because I said to George, "What do you reckon that they talk about when they're not like doing sexy talk and dancing talk? What's their conversation?" And George is like, "They just goof around." That's all they do.
Well, I mean, when they're on that log, they are wild.
They're crazy. You're wild. That's another quote I hate. I hate
you're wild.
You're wild. Because I would have said you're wild. That's the kind of thing I would say to a man and then immediately
want
to
stuff
die.
It back in my mouth.
And then he also says, what does he say? He says, what did you say? And then she has to go a second time. You're wild.
Yeah.
Like a
she
second
said it
time.
Twice.
Yeah. Because I have said things like you're wild and then thought, I will never forget that I've said that. I'm not going to say what I've said here, but I've said things like that and thought, oh my God, that needs to go away. Okay, but we have a couple of other contenders.
Yeah, I mean, I can't find my iridescent beige lipstick.
That's your favourite. Is that your favourite?
Yeah, I think so, just because...
You like that one, though, didn't you? Sit down, Jake.
Sit down, Jake. because Dr. Jake Hausman goes to be kind of, you know... argue against
what
the final dance scene.
Would he have
scene?
Gone up on stage
and
called Baby off?
Everybody.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I can imagine him doing that, actually.
Yeah, everybody
George just wafted her hands in that
in
kind
a,
of...
quite a dad way.
Yeah.
No, and Marge is like, sit down, Jake. And he's like, okay. I like that, like, Marge is, like, background, but you know there's, like, she's the controlling factor
there.
And
yes.
When he's like, that's it, we're all going home, Christmas is cancelled.
Yeah.
They're like, no, but we have a talent show. And he's like... okay, fine. He's like, Dr. Jake Hausman will do it for the gals.
But the sit down, Jake, is the first time you hear her say anything real. I can't believe anything Marge actually says.
Yeah, I don't know if we
does
play the game
talk?
Of counting how many lines Marge has, it's not coming out favourably for her.
It's like three lines. And that's the first one or the only one where she says anything that's like a directive. Like,
but she smashes it.
Yeah, she's great. Sit down, Jake. She's got the control. Okay, take that stuff off your face. Not a great quote, but I think quite an important one for the topic of the podcast.
Yes, definitely a lot of hypocrisy there with who's allowed to be wearing that makeup and who's not.
Yeah,
and
whatever the reason.
Why Dad's so shooketh by it.
Yeah. George and I both liked, I like to watch your hair blowing in the breeze.
I feel like we can all relate to that. Like, something similar in our lives has happened where someone you don't want to get with, it's just, like, saying something super cringe, and you're like, oh, I could laugh, I could cry, I just don't want to be here, that was awful. And almost, like, you relive it in your head, and you're embarrassed for yourself, even though someone else said it, and you're like...
She's quite good, though, Baby, at getting away from Neil, actually. Like,
doesn't she come and get collected?
Where?
They're, like, on the dock, like, someone's, like...
Doesn't she know? Doesn't she say, "Let's"? I'm hungry. She says, "I'm hungry."
He says,
"Oh, do you want a snack?
You hungry? Let's go get you fed, baby." Because he's like treating her like a
queen
rabbit.
Like she's gonna be the queen of Kellerman's one day. Okay, but I have to say my favorite quote, and it's an aside, and I have to listen to it many times. But it is the wonderful Max Kellerman with, "This Danish is pure protein."
I have never noticed this quote before. ever. And Randy said this, and I was like, I can't even think of where in the film this is going to turn up. And it's such an aside, like, you will, like, blink and you will miss it. And he literally puts a Danish next to Dr. Jake's head.
Dr. Jake Hausman's
head. And says, sort of almost in his ear, this Danish is pure protein. Which is, like, not true. A Danish is fully not pure protein. Man who smokes cigars at breakfast has collected a Danish, presented it to Dr. Jake Hausman and said, yeah, this Danish is pure protein.
And also, Jake, to his infinite credit, as a doctor, doesn't say, you're wrong, you will die if you keep eating pure protein Danishes.
I mean, Dr. Jake Hausman as a doctor is not questioning why Max Kellerman is having a cigar with breakfast every day. So he's,
yeah, but they're old friends. Where do you think they made friends? They're like old buddies, aren't they?
Does I don't know what the version of Eton is in America.
Yeah, something like that. Yale.
Yeah. Columbia.
Yeah.
Harvard.
Yeah.
And other university names.
Yeah, all those nice American ones. Right.
Do we need to end on our favourite song? Oh, we haven't even discussed that all of the songs are not from 96 Street. Oh, yeah. But that is a whole other podcast.
All other not from... And also that Lisa Hausman wrote Hula Hannah.
Well, this is what I was going to say.
You
want to
do the Hula Hannah? I'm not singing the Hula Hannah.
I don't know what the words are, but I'm that's also enough. Doing the dance.
When you hula hula. Yeah, that is a high point.
Yeah.
But what was the best song in your view?
That one.
80s or otherwise? Genuinely. You said that at your wedding you wanted all Dirty Dancing songs. Oh, which one?
Love Man.
Okay, yeah, so I would say Do You Love Me only because... Or Cry to Me, because I'd like to be in both those scenes. I would like to have that scene. No,
She's Like the Wind. She's Like the Wind. Shout out to my one Tom Groves.
Yeah.
He loves that song.
It's a great song. It's a worthy contender.
It's all the 80s cheese we want. Could listen to She's Like the Wind. But also, yeah, Love Man.
But also, don't you want to go to that party so, so, so much?
I would like to be good enough at dancing to be at that party.
Do you think that if I came to your...
I think I would be more baby being taught how to grind at that party.
Yeah, dying inside. But do you think that if I came to your wedding and danced like that anyone would judge me? Do you think you could...
No, I would encourage it.
Warn your parents I've already I'll be dirty dancing at your wedding.
Honestly, who knows what the parents will be doing by that point. Okay, so
wonderful. Yeah. Well, it's an aspirational film for me and a wonderful one. I'm so glad that you agreed to talk about it, George.
I mean, it's been a delight. And
it's
we've
been
got
a delight. Loads more to come.
Loads more to come. Yeah. This is just the beginning of our mini-series.
So answer our questions. Feedback, please.
Answer them.
Answer our questions. Tell us what you thought. I will link to George. George, what are you on Instagram? I'm George. I'm G Driver.
I am G Driver.
I'm G Driver. And you know where I am.
And let us know what films you want us to ramble about.
That's a good point.
Analyse the possible dubious hair and makeup in.
All right. On that note, thank you, George Driver.
Bye.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.